Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers got shut out by some guy you never heard of and may never hear of again. We're going to talk about that dumb, stupid game. We're going to talk about lineup construction both now and when Mookie Betts comes back. And we're going to talk about All-Star voting. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to, even when all we have to talk about is the Dodgers getting shut out in Colorado. Because here we are. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. That guy next to me is my co-host, Vince Samperio. He's not next to me physically. He's in Omaha. I'm in Utah. But we're both talking about the Dodgers because we are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the locker room and the press box. So we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use code Locked On at checkout. And now, let's talk about the Dodgers. Vince, after playing an 11-inning game on Sunday Night Baseball that was long anyway, like the first nine innings took over 3.5 hours to get through. I haven't looked. I think the probably full game time was, you know, close to 4.5 hours. And then they had to hop on a plane and fly across the country to higher elevation. Look, baseball players don't make excuses. Not a single member of the Dodgers that I saw made any excuses for how flat they were on Monday against the Rockies. But baseball podcasters sometimes do make excuses or at least explanations. And in hindsight, maybe we should have expected a little bit of a flat performance from the Dodgers.
Yeah, at the very least, a justification for the performance, I would say. Obviously, we still expected them to win. We expected them to not get shut out by Chad Kuhl, who almost threw a Maddux against them. But in the end, yeah, it's one of those games that you don't want to lose. I know people were upset about losing, but as we always said, if the Dodgers are going to lose, to do it under 3 hours is great. To do it under 2.5 hours, even better. So at the very least, we got the fast part of a loss out of the way. And other than that, it's one of those games that we're probably not going to remember. It's one of those games that maybe up trade value for Chad Kuhl. And, you know, good for the Rockies if they are able to nab some kind of mid-tier prospect that won't pan out for them.
Vince has a lot of confidence in the Rockies front office, and it's well-deserved confidence. Yeah, the other good thing besides the short game is, you know, we've talked about the best option if you're going to win 2 out of 3 in a series. You know, I think we probably said win-lose-win is the best, but lose-win-win is definitely the second best. And so lose the first one. A series against the Rockies, you don't say it out loud, but you come into this series thinking a sweep here would be good, you know. But the goal of every series is to win the series, and the Dodgers still have a very good chance to win the series. It would have been nice to, I think, Chad Kuhl, is that his first name? I assume so. He has a first name.
I said it right now.
So according to Locked On Dodgers, if it's not Chad, legally change it to Chad. But he's probably the worst of the starting pitchers the Dodgers are going to face in this series. But it's still the Rockies. It's not like even their good starting pitchers are actually very good, and it's Colorado. You know, it was a frustrating game, but like you said, it wasn't frustrating for very long because pretty soon it was over. And, yeah, I mean, there's really not much to say about it. There wasn't a ton of bad luck involved. The Dodgers hit the ball hard some, but they didn't. It's kind of interesting. If you look at sort the batted balls by exit velocity, there were 20 hard hit balls, and the Dodgers had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them. you know, 9 of the 20 hard hit balls, including first, third, fifth, eighth, ninth, 11th, 12th. I mean, it was pretty well distributed between the two teams, hard hit balls. But if you sort by expected batting average, the top 10 are all Rockies. And because what the Dodgers hard hit balls were, a lot of them were hard hit fly balls. You know, it's a hard hit ball with a 48 degree launch angle isn't going to do you any good. A hard hit ball with, you know, if we go back to sorting by exit velocity, and the Dodgers hard hit balls, Will Smith, 44 degree fly out. Trace Thompson's one that double play when Gavin Lux got doubled off trying to go to second. That one was actually some bad luck. That one was actually a barrel. Trace hit 104.3 miles an hour, 38 degree launch angle. Not terrible. But then they had Max Muncy, 36 degrees fly out, 45 degree fly out. Just a bunch of just not quite squaring up the ball. They only struck out 5 times, which is part of why the game went so quick, why Cool was able to finish the game. So it's like, you can't even look at it and say it was like a terrible offensive performance. It was just a game of inches. They were just barely missing the ball. And that's what you would expect from a team that's tired and jet lagged and, you know, at higher elevation, blah, 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 all those excuses or explanations, whatever you want to call them. The fact is they were pretty darn close to hitting the ball pretty well tonight.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the times, you know, Cool was throwing strikes because the Dodgers weren't swinging out of the zone, but they were swinging early in the count. I mean, he was averaging, I think, 11 pitches through the first 4 innings. And then in the 6th inning, I think he threw like 6 pitches. So, you know, the Dodgers were hitting. They just weren't hitting it to the right places. I guess we can talk about Tyler Anderson a little bit. You know, it's not bad for a Colorado start. You know, it's 4 runs in 6 innings. But now he's giving up 4 runs in back-to-back outings coming off. Throwing the most pitches he's ever thrown in his career, I believe, or at least, you know, for sure this season when he was chasing that no-hitter. Just wondering if you think there's anything to that, or if it's just pitching at Great American Ballpark, which is known as a hitter's park, and Coors Field, which is Coors Field.
Yeah, there's one thing I believe that you should never draw any grand conclusions from one game. And when that game happened at Coors Field, it's doubly true. And I know you mentioned 2 games. But for a starting pitcher, 2 games is hard to really draw many conclusions. I mean, the fact is Tyler Anderson has pitched really well, and he's been surprising. And the reason it's been surprising is because he has a track record, a career history. And, yeah, he did tweak his changeup this year. And, you know, maybe a changeup relies on movement. And maybe changeups don't work as well at Coors Field, just like breaking pitches don't work as well at Coors Field. So maybe it's to be expected. I definitely would have to see, you know, his next start will come against the Padres at Dodger Stadium, which that's a much more realistic test of what we're going to get from Tyler Anderson. And if he gives up, you know, for that game, then we'll start thinking, okay, well, maybe this is who Tyler Anderson is. But Tyler Anderson himself made the point after the game with this offense, you know, especially at Coors Field, allowing 4 runs in 6 innings, that's basically a quality start. You know, that's you give your team a good chance to win. Anderson said most nights that we're going to get a win out of that. And he didn't say it accusingly. You know, he said, you know, I did my best. I understand what it's like to pitch at Coors. He used to pitch for the Rockies, so he knows what that's like. And he did his job. He went out there and he allowed 4 runs. I think the home run by Iglesias was kind of a backbreaker. Even though the Dodgers didn't score at all, there's a difference being down by 2 runs at Coors Field and being down by 4. 4 runs, even at Coors Field, is an actual lead. 2 runs, it might as well be tied. And so, you know, not to say anything would have turned out differently, but that was kind of the backbreaker, giving up a home run to a guy who doesn't hit home runs. But yeah, overall, I don't think there's much that I'm reading into about Tyler Anderson for this game.
Yeah. And same, I mean, and even if this is like, you know, a Tyler Anderson, a stretch or whatever, what we get, this is what we kind of thought of going into the season, you know, a 3-4 runs, 5-6 innings every time out, fifth starter type, somebody to keep the Dodgers offense close enough at the beginning of the game in order for them to win it. So, you know, obviously I would not like for him to regress to that, but also if he does, it's kind of what you get for $8 million signing somebody to that kind of, you know, with that, with those expectations.
Yeah, he's a sixth starter, and he's done very well with those expectations. All right, we talked about that game for almost as long as that game lasted. So we're going to move on. We're going to talk about lineup construction both right now and after Mookie Betts comes back. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, are you a jewelry expert? Well, Lottie freaking da, I'm not. But you know who is? The people at BlueNile.com. And that's why I like Blue Nile, because, you know, whatever you do, are you getting engaged soon, getting married soon? BlueNile.com has wedding jewelry, engagement jewelry, all that you could need, engagement rings, bands, all of that. Or maybe you have a special someone, you're already married or not thinking about marriage, but you want to get a nice piece of jewelry for somebody you love. Guess what? If you're anything like me, you don't know what you're doing. But the people at BlueNile.com do. They have experts available 24/7 online or by, you know, by phone or by chat, and they will help you pick out what you want. You can, you don't need to be an expert because they are, and they're going to get you some great jewelry. It's going to last a long time. It's going to be really high quality, and it's going to come in a box that isn't going to tell people exactly what it is. You know, everything about this. If you want to buy jewelry, personally, I would buy jewelry for my wife a lot more often if I knew about BlueNile.com a lot sooner, because the thing that keeps me from doing it is I don't know what I'm doing, and they do. So make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use code Locked On. That's code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. And from rings to auto parts, it's both ends of the financial spectrum, but guess what? They're both necessary, and sometimes you need auto parts. And when you do, do not go down to the auto parts store. Do not do it. It's a terrible idea, because you're gonna go and you're going to get those auto parts store cooties or whatever it is that's in there. You walk out greasy. Even if you didn't touch anything, you walk out feeling greasy. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I've never worked a hard day in my life, but I don't like those places. But you know what I do like? RockAuto.com, because they're a website. I like websites. I work on the internet, and they have every part I need. So I've told you guys before, I saved over $1,000 on struts for my Suburban. I spent $8.16 instead of $49.99 on a new interior door handle for my Ford Fusion. Whatever you need, they're going to have it, and it's going to cost less than what you would pay at the auto parts store, and as it was shipped right to you, it's easy returns if you order the wrong thing. Look, just go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in there, how did you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, Vince, we are back. I want to give a shout out to all 835 people who very cleverly told me there's no crying in baseball after yesterday's episode. I would just like to point out, A, there are a lot of movie quotes that aren't true, including that one. And B, Freddie Freeman was not crying in baseball. He was crying in life. It just happened to take place on a baseball field. This is the same guy who hugged an opponent when he saw that he was crying because he got his first hit since his dad died. Freddie Freeman appreciates human moments, even when they happen on the baseball field. And that's why he cried. And so even though Tom Hanks said it, you know, stupid is as stupid does, he said that too. Maybe that's not totally true. I don't know, but there's no crying in baseball, but Freddie Freeman's fine what he did. And that's all I have to say about that. Tom Hanks said that too. Let's talk about lineup construction, shall we, Vince?
Yeah. It's something that we alluded to yesterday a little bit. And now somebody else that we talked about on yesterday's episode is starting to make a case to rise above and be higher in the lineup. So let's start there with Gavin Lux, who's been the number nine hole. We mentioned yesterday how good he's been, and starting to see some traction online that he should maybe move up in the lineup, especially with the continued struggles of Justin Turner, Max Muncy, Cody Bellinger. And it's one of those where, you know, do you want to mess with it? Would you rather have a strong 9-1-2-3, or would you rather have a strong 1-2-3 and then kind of an unknown for a little bit there somewhere in the middle of that lineup? So that's where we'll start about it. And I mean, honestly, at this point, it's one of those things where just those guys, the guys aren't hitting, and to move it around, I don't see an issue with trying to change things a little bit.
Yeah, the fact is, the only reason to leave Gavin Lux at the bottom of the order is because it's working for him, and there's that fear of what if the reason he's having so much success is because there's no pressure at the bottom of the lineup, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not dismissing that. I'm not saying that's not true, but I also think, you know, Jock Peterson used to bat eighth, and he was a really good eighth hitter, and then he ended up batting leadoff for the Dodgers because – and he was really good there too. And so – you know, you're never going to know unless you try. And they have moved Lux up. He's batted as high as seventh, maybe even sixth, but at least as high as seventh in the last week or so. And, you know, we got a DM on our Locked On Dodgers Twitter account from a guy named Not Dave Roberts at Not Dave Roberts on Twitter. Spoiler alert, he's not Dave Roberts. But he asked about this, and he was thinking Gavin Lux in the two hole, Trey Turner leadoff, Gavin at second, and then Mookie third, Freeman fourth, Smith fifth. And, you know, and then the other four, almost, he has Belly, then Taylor, then Muncy, then JT in that order. And I told him, we had a little back and forth. My one big concern about that would be Will Smith batting as low as fifth. I feel like Smith right now is putting up maybe the most consistently good at bats on the team. I really like, I would be concerned about dropping him down as far as fifth. And so, you know, something I threw out to Not Dave Roberts was something along the lines of Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, Mookie, Will Smith, and then Gavin Lux fifth, followed by CT3, Muncy, Bellinger, and JT. And then I had an idea because I thought, well, that is pretty close to sorted by on base percentage. And when you think about it, the only, I'm not that big on lineup construction. I don't think it matters that much. Where it matters for the most part is every spot in the lineup you drop down, you get about 20 fewer plate appearances over the course of a season. And so basically it's who do you want giving the most plate appearances to? And for me, the obvious answer is the guys who get out the least, because the opposite of getting on base is getting out. And so in my perfect world, the lineup would probably be sorted basically by on base percentage. And so I sorted the team by on base percentage. And here's what that lineup would look like, Vince. And I don't hate this. That lineup would be Freddie Freeman batting leadoff, then Trey Turner, then Gavin Lux, then Mookie Betts, then Will Smith, Chris Taylor, Max Muncy, Justin Turner, Cody Bellinger. That sounds, and I, that has Will Smith fifth. And I just said, I didn't like Will Smith being that low. Well, right now Smith's on base percentage is, at least when I wrote this, this was before Monday's game, it was only 2 points behind Mookie's. So there's a good chance by the time Mookie comes back, Will Smith will have a higher on base percentage than him anyway. And so maybe you flip flops, put Smith fifth, Betts fifth, or Smith fourth, Betts fifth. I got to tell you, I don't hate the idea of sorting the thing by on base percentage and going that way.
Yeah, when it comes down to those five names at the top, you could almost put them any way, and it would probably be successful just based on the way those guys are and the way they hit. I think, you know, taking Lux out of the nine hole, moving them up is the way. The one thing I do agree with is having Cody Bellinger not, like, if you're going to have everyone kind of drop, Bellinger ninth kind of works out, because if he does get on base, he's got a little bit of speed for that top of the order. You know, for guys like Trey and Freddie, who don't necessarily hit too many home runs or even too many doubles to that extent so far this season, but guys that do hit singles, Bellinger's been aggressive on the base pass. So I think that works out. I think where you know, Muncy and Turner, you probably want to try to break them up so you don't have kind of back-to-back outs at the time, but it's a little bit, you know, it's also a matter of, okay, you can put Muncy one spot up, put Taylor maybe in between them, and then that works. But yeah, I mean, at the very least, like I said, the top five doesn't matter too much. I would probably just keep Lux ranked fifth in my personal, just because you want to see how he performs. And then as the idea of putting him in the two hole, I think that's too much of a big jump in experimentation at this time in the season when they're not that much ahead in the division, to where if Lux struggles, you have to decide, okay, how fast do we pull the plug on this if he struggles? And is that going to mess with his confidence if he struggles and we have to pull him down out of the lineup and move him down really quick? So I wouldn't agree there. But, yeah, having Lux higher, I do agree with in general.
Yeah, and that whole thing is part of why I actually suggested I hopped on the roundtable on Dodgers Nation last week, and I actually suggested Gavin Lux batting leadoff while Mookie's out, because there's a built-in time frame. Of course, we found out on Monday maybe we don't know what that time frame is. Maybe the 2 weeks till Mookie's back was a little optimistic, and it won't be that quick. We don't know for sure at this point. But you know, you've got a set expiration date, so you can put Gavin Lux in that leadoff spot, see how he does without the risk of having to drop him in the lineup as a punishment. When, you know, if he knows, look, you're gonna bat leadoff until Mookie comes back, and then we're dropping you somewhere else. You know, kind of not much pressure or less pressure that way, and kind of a, I don't know. I wouldn't have minded that. Obviously, Trey Turner's doing really well. It's kind of funny that somebody in our mentions was talking about Mookie Betts striking out too much the first time he sees a pitcher. And so he feels like Mookie Betts strikes out to lead off a game a lot. But Trey Turner actually has now played 13 games as the leadoff hitter and has struck out 5 times leading off a game, which is about twice as high as Mookie Betts' percentage. Obviously a much smaller sample size, but you know, the difference is Trey also has hits in 5 of those 13 at bats, along with his 5 strikeouts. So he only has his ground out on Monday was only his third time leading off a game that it wasn't either a hit or a strikeout. But you know, yeah, there's one thing we really know. I mean, Gavin Lux, Trey Turner, and Mookie Betts, and even Freddie Freeman are all, you know, quote unquote ideal leadoff men for different reasons, and could probably hold that down pretty well.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's some thoughts on lineup construction. Chances are what we're going to see is more of the same. I do hope that they continue to keep dropping Justin Turner and Cody Bellinger until they start hitting better. But you know, other than that, we're probably going to see more of the same. We're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about All-Star voting. The All-Star voting ends on Thursday, I believe, or at least the first round of All-Star voting. And so we're going to talk about kind of the status there. And yeah, so. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. Guess what? BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. NHL playoffs are over now, so baseball's kind of got the stage to itself. So, mostly baseball stuff. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we are back and going to talk a little bit about the All-Star voting. Like I said, the first round ends on Thursday. Right now, Mookie Betts is still leading all National League players in votes received. And the player who leads each league in total votes automatically gets the starting spot. How they're doing it this year otherwise is the top 2 players at each position. And I assume that means top 6 in the outfield. Do you know, yeah, Vince? So top 2 at position, top 6 in the outfield, move on to the next round to determine the starters. And so we got to get our guys into the top 2. For me, really, the one travesty is probably too strong a word, but heck, it's a podcast. I think people expect strong words. The one travesty is that Will Smith isn't in the top 2 right now among catchers. Will Smith, I believe, is the best catcher in baseball and deserves to be in the All-Star game. I think he's going to make it either way, but I think he should be in the top 2 in voting. And so if you're not, even if you're not voting for anyone else, you need to go vote for Will Smith.
Yeah, that's the main one. I mean, Trey Turner's in the lead right now. Shortstop, Mookie Betts in the lead, like you mentioned, in outfield and in general voting. Other than that, in the infield and everything else, the Dodgers have nobody below 4th. And then in the outfield, Bellinger and Taylor are 9th and 11th. Obviously, there's some Dodgers there that are probably don't deserve to be top 5, Justin Turner, Max Muncy, to be specific. But it's one of those where, you know, the fan voting, you know, Fernando Tatis is the number 5 shortstop in the NL and hasn't played a game this year. So, you know, fan voting is always going to be a topic of debate. But, and we've talked about this before about, you know, maybe how Dodger fans are a little apathetic to the fan voting. We've never really seen a blast. You know, I think the Blue Jays have a bunch of starters right now. And there's been the year after the Royals won, they had like 7 of the 9 starters.
Omar Infante.
Yeah. So, you know, they've had, there's these teams that had these blasts. Obviously, the Dodgers, you know, just by nature of being the Dodgers, we see that almost all their guys are top 5 or top 4 more specifically. But we haven't really seen too much of a push this year from the social media team, whether that's, you know, apathy on their end or they just have other stuff going on, or it's just standard vote. I know they've had stuff at the stadium and they've had the Dodger wives help out and giving out buttons to vote. But other than that, we haven't really seen too much of a push. I don't follow too many other teams to notice if they've put out a big push. But I do think that at the very least, Will Smith should be getting a little bit more of a push, especially here. And after the first voting, he should have got it. And now it might be a little bit too late. So,
yeah, it might be. You never know. Hopefully, because after the starters are voted in, there's nothing that says that the second place person gets that backup spot. Then it's up to, you know, there's player voting, there's manager voting, there's a bunch of different things. So hopefully Will Smith will make the team either way. You know, Freddie Freeman's the only other guy you could make a case for, but the fact is, Paul Goldschmidt's having a great season. You know, there are other first basemen who probably are more deserving than Freddie Freeman this year, and so it's not a travesty. But you know, Will Smith if he doesn't make it, it would be the worst thing that's ever happened in the world ever. That's all I'm saying.
Since he didn't make it last year.
Yeah, that was the worst thing. So that will get bumped to the second worst thing ever. This year will be the worst thing ever.
Now, staying on the All-Star topic, Dave Roberts was asked about Julio and his potential chance of being an All-Star. And he kind of mentioned the fact that if the Dodgers have multiple All-Stars, that might hurt Julio's chances of making it. Dave Roberts was speaking in the sense that Freddie Freeman's a little bit of a lock, but like you mentioned, and that we talked about before, Goldschmidt is for sure deserving. Pete Alonso, he has strong numbers, and the Mets are a good team. You know, the Rockies will need a representative, and they have CJ Cron, whose numbers are really good. So I don't see him necessarily being a lock. You know, Trey Turner, Mookie Betts, yes. Mookie might not play depending how he recovers here in the next 3 weeks. You for sure got Tony Gonsolin there. Clayton Kershaw is kind of being mentioned. Obviously, he has the merit, not the innings, but has the merit based on how he's pitched and the fact that it's at Dodger Stadium and it might be one of the last times and everything else. But, you know, Julio's continued to chug along. Tyler Anderson dropped off a little bit the last 2 starts, so it might be time for him to get his shine in and be an All-Star.
Yeah, definitely. One case I would make is that Clayton Kershaw has deserved to start the All-Star game several times, and a couple times, you know, injury things butted in. One time he started the Sunday game before the All-Star game, so he wasn't able to pitch in the All-Star game. And at least once opposing manager just picked the wrong pitcher, picked his own guy over Kershaw. I would be in favor of Brian Snitker picking the wrong guy if it's Clayton Kershaw. At Dodger Stadium, you know, if Kershaw's on the team, he's going to pitch an inning anyway. It might as well be the first inning. Tony Gonsolin is the most deserving Dodger to start opening day. But Clayton Kershaw, I mean, his ERA is at 2 right now, right? I mean, if he puts up a good start or two between now and the All-Star game, I mean, if he comes in with an ERA below 2, even with the injured list stint, you know, the lack of innings, it's absolutely a justifiable pick. And when you're talking about a game at Dodger Stadium and Clayton Kershaw, I just talked myself into it being the only justifiable pick.
And if this is the All-Star game, and, you know, if guys like Fernando Tatis are still getting votes from fans, even though he hasn't played, there is a pageantry to it. And, you know, at the very least, this is something that could happen in that realm. You know, we've seen other things happen in the past. The All-Star game doesn't matter in terms of home field advantage anymore. So there's not necessarily a deterrent to starting Kershaw. And, you know, besides Gonsolin, you know, let's just say, hey, Tony Gonsolin's the most deserving guy to be the starting pitcher. Tony Gonsolin 100% will concede that to Clayton Kershaw if need be. So it's not like anyone else behind Gonsolin could be upset if Kershaw, you know, technically jumped them, because in the realistic things, if things stay this way, they weren't the most deserving anyways. It would have been Gonsolin. It just didn't happen to do it because they gave way to Kershaw.
Yeah, Gonsolin making an all-star team is, you know, probably more than he ever expected. So, yeah, starting it would be awesome. But, yeah, I think I agree that he would probably defer to the Dodger legend over in that situation.
Yeah, so that's what it is. One other note on all-stars. Brian Snicker did choose Dave Roberts to be one of his managers. Dave Roberts and Dave Martinez. It seems like a lot of these, you know, Dave Martinez and Dave Roberts just kind of keep getting into the All-Star game by way of making the World Series and or inviting the other one to be their coach with them. So that's a good little run for them.
And Dave Martinez didn't get to manage the All-Star team like he deserved to, because there wasn't an All-Star game the year after he won the World Series. I assume that's going to earn him 3 or 4 All-Star coaching bids, just to make up for not getting to manage the team, since he's not likely to win another World Series anytime soon. So,
yeah. All right, Jeff, anything else?
No, I think that's it. So, yeah, thank you all for checking out Locked On Dodgers. We really appreciate it. We appreciate you making us your first listen every day. Now, for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. If you're not watching or listening to Locked On Dodgers every day, we would love if you would add 1 or 2 days a month to your rotation. We appreciate all of you sharing it with your friends and family. If you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you do and they're not listening to the show, tell them about it. They might like it. It's a pretty good show, I think. You can follow us on Instagram and on Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places, so you can reach out to us just like not Dave Roberts did. You can also email us, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text message at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We got a voicemail from a listener. Oh, I can't find his name right now. There it is. Stephen Blackman in North Carolina. Thank you for your voicemail. He wanted to talk a little bit about Freddie Freeman and the reaction that Braves fans had had for him. We may get into that a little bit. We'll have to see how that goes. But I appreciate the voicemail, Stephen, and appreciate you listening. We appreciate all of you. So what am I supposed to say next? I think that's it. So,
yeah, thank you all for listening. And
remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.